When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
Like a gimme fight, like Conor McGregor.
They're gonna slip into the darkness.
Think he can get found out.
Come look me in the eye and see what happens. I'll break your face.
I will fight literally to the death.
He's gonna break.
No one can break me.
I'll gut you like a fish.
There's a lot of guys who are good at one thing and they get matched up stylistically well. He's one of them.
I will be a two-weight world champion, held consecutively. There'll be a belt on one shoulder and a belt on the other shoulder. I said I would do it, and I will do it.
You'll be beltless November 12th. You'll have to give up the little boy belt, and you're not getting the big boy belt.
I'm gonna wrap one on one shoulder, I'm gonna wrap the other on the other shoulder, and this is my prediction. I'm gonna KO you the second round.
He's not a championship fighter, he's never been, and he's never, ever fought anyone UFC like me.
He's gonna be shooting panic, and I'm gonna be hitting him from everywhere. Sooner or later, he's gonna fall.
Dolphy Rose. You ain't got a fucking shot.
Fuck you,
shot.
Coach.
You're here because you're the easiest dude in this division. That's why you're here. You ain't got a fucking shot.
Two-way world champion. UFC history. And you're going to need a fucking army to come take that belt off me.
You ain't got a shot.
I'm fucking brilliant.
Take them stupid-ass glasses off.
Yeah. Make me. Make me. Make me. Make me. Make me.
He's back! Conor McGregor, UFC 205 tomorrow night in New York City. I wish I had my soundbite ready, J. Chris. New York, New York. Big city of dreams. But everything in New York ain't always what it seems. But tomorrow, it will be. The UFC makes its debut tomorrow. Conor McGregor, people, Bleacher Reports, so I can't say people, has actually had the audacity, the nerve, the courage to say, is Conor McGregor the best fighter in the world since Muhammad Ali? most popular. Really? Have you forgotten about Mike Tyson? Really? I don't care if you hate Floyd Money Mayweather. So I give you that. I still think Money May is way more popular than Conor McGregor. But have you forgotten Mike Tyson, Bleacher Report? This is why I think your news information is crap. Baloney. And we all know I don't like baloney. But first, the particulars, people. 347-637-3859. Somebody to call in. Right here, tune in to me, yours truly, Mike Pierman Sr., Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, presented by the BDSR Radio Networks, as we are grinding and slowly rising to the top. Come on, people, take. You put the noodles part, so you knew where I was going with. But people, listen, we got an hour here. I got my heart on my sleeve. We're going to talk about it, wear it this way. Lock it up. No, you lock it up. We're going to lock up some NFL games today. We're going to talk about some NFL games today. We're going to talk about UFC 205. And listen, because my real job, not my career, which is here right now on the BDSR Networks here on Fox Sports Radio, okay? But those ain't seen yet to turn the corner. They will be. Oh, they will be. But until then, my real job has taken me away from doing what I love, and that's right here on the microphone, expressing my opinions to you. And so we've kind of forget things and get away from things, and we scratch and claw, and I give a big thanks to my entire team, and they don't even notice sometimes. I get mad when we can't do a show, but guys, they help me for free. There are good dudes, and so when we can't do a show, it's not because we're not want to entertain you. It's because real life happens, and I love my crew for always being there when they can and when they cannot be there. So today's show, 60 minutes of entertainment and barbershop talk the way it's supposed to be. And people, last night, Fight Night DC, oh, my brother, I can't testify, because what happened at Fight Night, no, it won't say at Fight Night, it's just the barbershop. We all know I run my mouth in the barbershop, but my CFO, my chief financial officer, the owner, the founder of the new Twitch show, and the BDSI Network chief financial officer. What's going on, Mr. J. Chris?
Well, welcome back, man. Welcome back from a night of fights and elegance and ambiance and all that good stuff out in D.C. I'm sure you enjoyed yourself. The pictures with you and the wife and all like that, and congratulations to Fight Night DC and that whole organization for putting on another great performance and another great
event.
There you go. Thank you. Another great event. And it's good because it's all for a good cause. You know, they're helping the kids, and you know, J. Chris loves the kids. So, you know, I'm proud of that. I'm glad that you were able to have a part in that and be a part of that whole thing. And hopefully they can do it again, and we can be there again representing.
Listen, and we won't go into too much right now, but your boy, now, and we talk. You're one of my real friends. So you hear how you know where my passion is for doing radio, and you know how sometimes I go, I just want to be recognized. You know what I mean, for what I do. And, you know, we had Mr. Keith Gorton on, the chief financial officer for Fight Night DC, who had me and my wife there as his special guest. When he introduced me, Jay, he introduced me as the greatest voice in the East Coast and the greatest show around was the Soul in Sports. When he said this, a president of a major, one of the top five companies in the country, that's all I'm going to say, gives me his card and said, you have any problems ever, you give me a call personally. I said, nice. Thank you, God. I'm almost there. Not just quite yet. I want somebody to, like we believe Trump will do, because I'm not going to ever call him President Trump or President-elect, okay? And if that's my disrespect, then I've disrespected people I love. So who is he? So when he's ready to push that button, I don't wait for somebody to push the button and just say, get this man a job and get him off of here. But we don't got time for all that. That's for another show. But my brother from another mother, his bars have been pretty weak lately. I'm challenging him right there. Micah, what's going on, brother? Man, I'm trying to tell you, when you're rubbing off on other people, it's all good. Even when you're kneeling at the church steeple, preach, my brother, preach. And let me tell you, there was a lot of things complicated on Tuesday, and I'm daggone sure that you and I and Jay Chris keep things simple because, hey, man, this is the Soul Sports Locking Up Friday. We don't have to deal with no pleasure principles. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Let's go ahead and talk about it. Man, you had some good pictures last night. I am excited to be able to participate in that event with you at another time and when I can as well to see those faces and gain insight and enjoy the festivities. I have yet to see a boxing match or event in person, so I haven't got the chance to feel the excitement in an arena while two guys are maiming each other in the ring.
Well, first of all, two boxing matches,
mm-hmm.
and one a kickboxing match, okay?
Ooh.
And last year, they had four fights. This year, they had three. Every fight went to decision last year. All three of these fights, nobody made it out of the third round.
Wow.
Nobody. We saw knockouts. We saw knockouts. I got to see Sheila E. perform on the drums, J. Chris. I'm as close as I am to the computer screen, I was to Sheila E. bagging the drums.
That's called bucket list right there.
That's called bucket list right there, Sheila. I'm sitting there screaming like a girl. Like, that's some things that, you know, the 80s kids inside of us will never lose, the Sheila E. moment. But we'll talk about, again, some of that stuff later. But right now, we do have the NFL. It is week 10 already. I'm sorry, guys. I'm damn near depressed when the NFL gets this late. That means NFL season is almost over. You know what I mean? It was like, God darn. Why don't you just have 18 weeks already? I'm just joking. I wouldn't push that on anybody. But I'm already 1-0 as I picked Baltimore, which wasn't a stretch to blow out Cleveland yesterday. Cleveland's trying to tie the 0-12 or 0-11, J. Chris, if I'm off here, with the Detroit Lions when Schwartz was the coach. A little further back than that, when they went 0-16? Our defensive coordinator was their coach when they went 0-16.
Oh. They went 0-16 that year?
They went 0-16.
Oh, man. I the bad stuff I try to put out of my head. But that was just a few years ago, two, 3 years ago.
I felt like 12. I thought you said 0-8.
It's 0-8.
Wow,
that was 08? Okay, maybe it wasn't that long. Either way.
So long, right.
No, wait, it happened.
Right, 0-16. Well, Cleveland's trying to tie that record. I had Baltimore. Now, I'm not going to call every game this week. We've got a lot of things to talk about today. I'm going to call some intriguing games this week and get some lines on there. You want to see the rest of the lines, please go to guys, and go and like my Facebook page, Michael Pierman Sr. on Facebook, where you get a little bit more of me and less organization. Okay, and you can hear me and get my thoughts and my opinions that are solely of me and what I am and not by my network or Fox Sports. So please go like that. You can get that there. Also on Fox Sports Facebook page and Fox Sports Twitter page, where we'll bet that show to get the rest of the bets. But we're going to go over a few right here on this Lock It Up Friday. So ones that I find intriguing. And here's one, Jay, Chris, and Micah. Carolina's at home. Home point favorite. Got the 3 points. Kansas City is in this game coming to town. Starting with you, Micah, Kansas City or the Carolina Panthers?
This one is really hard for me looking at this and seeing that Carolina's trying their best to play well. But something in my heart says that Kansas City is going to win this outright. They're not going to cover. They're going to beat them. And I don't think it's going to be by – I don't think it's going to be by 3 points. I think it's going to be by more. So Carolina's going to continue their descent. And hopefully in this game, maybe Cam Newton will actually hit a call this time. Because, you know, Sunday, Sunday when my Colts beat, I'm still trying to figure out how that happened. But anyway, when my Colts beat Green Bay, there was a dude that tapped Aaron Rodgers on the helmet, and he got a roughing the passer call. So I'm going to need that to happen. So Carolina's going to win outright. I don't have a confidence in Carolina.
All right, no confidence in Carolina is one Micah, and this is a Lock It Up Friday. So what do you got with this one, J. Chris? Carolina took about 3 points. They are the home favorite.
I'm surprised that Carolina is favored in this game, actually. I know that
I was too.
Kansas City is playing good ball, and Vegas is talking to somebody. Vegas is talking to somebody somewhere in this game. I don't know what it is. I know.
Speaking of Vegas, I saw your girl last night, the Black Widow.
Oh, was she there?
Yeah, she was there.
Did you get to play against her?
You could. The line, for all the lines that were there, hers was really busy to try to get through. They had stuff like throw a ball 78 miles an hour. They had an auction, though, to get private lessons from her. So that was pretty dope.
Wow.
Of course, I couldn't afford that, but I was there to watch it. But, yeah, Vegas. She brought up Vegas, so I brought up Black Widow. I mean, just go hand in hand with me.
Yeah, she's been a beast for a long time. But with Kansas City, Carolina, I mean, that line is kind of speaking to me. I'm not sure if they're trying to sucker people in or what the case may be. They know something that we don't. I know they're having
– what they know. They know that Andy Reid doesn't really beat
to a point. You know, do we know who's going to be the QB for Kansas City?
Yeah, one – well, as of right now, let me check right now, because last time I checked, it looked like it might be Nick Foles going into that game. But I could be wrong, so I'm going to go check that right now.
Maybe that's why the line is talking. While you're checking that, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to take Kansas City to win this game outright. Because, I mean, right now I have their defense on my fantasy team. And
Is that why you go with that game?
That's why. I need them to show up. So, I'm taking
Alex
Kansas
Smith
City.
Alex Smith is slated to start this game.
I'm taking Kansas City. Kansas City, they don't have that far to travel. It's not like they're coming from Cali. Give me Kansas City in this game.
Well, I also have Kansas City to win this game. So that's definitely a three-way lock right here as we lock it up all for Kansas City. Figured by 3 points. I just feel that in games like this, I'm going with the momentum, that big M word that people forget about in sports. And Carolina, and I think we talked about it before. The bigger sports stories in the NFL this year is what's going on with Carolina and Arizona. I think that's the bigger question. You said before, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, Jay Chris. You said because just 2 years ago, how bad the Carolina Panthers were, and all of a sudden they had a resurgence year last year, but they still had the same exact team they had the year before, and now they have that same team minus one Josh Norman. So. Go figure that out the best way you can. Also, an intriguing game on the docket is, you believe this? It's a pick'em game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta coming in one of the hottest teams in the NFL. The reason why I only assume this is a pick'em game is because Vegas, for whatever reason, every year seems to love the Philadelphia Eagles. They just refuse to see reality sometimes, I believe, and they choose them. Philadelphia moves the ball but cannot get in the end zone. But this is also the time around the year where Atlanta seems to falter and fail. Who you got in this game, in this pick'em game, Jay Chris? I'll tell you right now, I took the Atlanta Falcons. First time I picked against the Eagles, I believe, all year.
I'm going with the Eagles, and I'm going to tell you why. I believe the Eagles owe the Falcons. The Falcons beat the Eagles last year. The Falcons are the reason Michael Vick is no longer on anybody's roster right now. From a few years ago when he got concussed against the team on, I think it was a Sunday night game, whatever the case may be. And he never really recovered and came back to form since then. So Eagles owe them. I'm taking the Eagles in the sense it's a pick'em game that Atlanta's traveling to Philadelphia. Atlanta travels well. I'm scared of Julio Jones. All right. I'm scared of Devontae Freeman just a little bit, not much. We played pretty well against the run. But I'm taking Philadelphia. I'm picking Philadelphia in this game. That's what I'm doing. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Stick with it then, if you want to stick with it. Who you got in this one, Micah? It's a pick'em game. Not to worry about point spreads. This one should be easy for you.
Yeah, this one's easy for me. And here's the thing. As I kept on telling y'all, and it was proven once again in that game that I was really, really mad at Sunday night or so ago. I was really mad at that game. But my theory is being proven over and over again that the Eagles play up or play down to their competition. They're going to play up to Atlanta, but I do think that Atlanta's going to speak by this time. There's something going on with how Doug Peterson is calling games when it's really tight, when it's really close, really crunchy. He's having some Andy Reid-esque moments with clock management. And I want to make sure – I personally want to make sure that they've learned their lesson from that last game and that they can do something. I hope they win. But I'm picking Atlanta to take this game.
So we got two for Atlanta and one for the Eagles, which is weird because Jay Chris typically doesn't pick the Philadelphia Eagles. But I thought that was an intriguing game. It was a pick'em game on the schedule for them guys out there. So I wanted to bring that one up and bring that one to the barbershop right now. Now another game. I'll make it a little so hard. Let's make this a little harder because sometimes I think you got to have balls. I'm not talking about soft balls that Tom Brady's like. I'm not talking about dodgeballs where if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. I'm talking about balls the size of grapefruit. You know the ones you have in your pants if you're a man? Not a what do they call it? Not a sex gender or whatever. Do they have balls? I'm not sure if they have balls or not. Whatever. I'm talking about a man's balls. Okay? Well, no balls. All right. Moving on. Seattle is the underdog by 8 points to New England in New England for Sunday night football. Jay Chris, there are so many elements into this game right now with Seattle and New England. We're talking about two of the best franchises in the NFL over the last, 4 or 5 years. New England's always there, but Seattle, you know, trying to become that new NFL powerhouse, and they have been the last few years. How do you see this game going? Tom Brady, 8 points? Am I wrong for thinking that is one huge line against Seattle?
Is it 8 point? It's an 8 point line.
Eight point line.
That's interesting. You see touchdown Tommy is having a heck of a season. He's trying to stick it to the man, so to speak. And it's in New England, so Seattle hasn't traveled across the country. And that game, I'm gonna go with Seattle in that game because New England in that game because Seattle for one. They're playing better, but you're not exactly sure right now. You're just not sure. They have to continue to convince me personally.
When they win, you get a phone call from one of them? You got a text message?
Richard Sherman and I talk smack back and forth.
All right.
I like to think maybe I'm starting to motivate them. I don't know.
Okay.
They're going to have to convince me. If they can show up in this game and win this game, then I'll be convinced if they can win it. If not, Seattle and New England over the past 10 years, okay, and I'm just thinking about this. I don't have any stats in front of me or anything like that.
It's the barbershop. We choose to do stats. Just go ahead and get your memory back.
I think they have been in three Super Bowls apiece over the last 10 years, and both teams have only won one. It might be 11 years, but I think it's 10.
Hmm.
This is 2016. I think it's 11 years. Over the past 11 years, both teams have been in three Super Bowls apiece and only have won one each. So I think they've been – I can almost say – you said they've been the best two franchises over the past five. I'll go as far as to say over the past 11. I don't know how many other teams can say they've been to three Super Bowls in the past 11 years.
Micah, who you got in this one? He's taking Broadway Brady, and I love his insight. Why? I'll tell you right now. I chose Seattle, and it's my lock of the week. And I don't think Seattle necessarily wins the game. I don't like the 8 points, Jay Chris, and that's what I'm afraid of. I think New England does win the game, but 8 points is what scares me because Seattle plays motivated when they play against certain teams, and Tom Brady's one of those teams on national television they want to play good against. There's no World Series, and there's no WWE. I think this would be a good turnout for them, and at least in that attempt at things. What's your take on this one, Micah?
I have to go ahead and agree with you and Jay Chris on the fact that New England's going to win this game.
Both of us. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, because New England's going to win the game. I said New England's going to win the game. However, I got to agree with you, Mike, that I believe Seattle's going to cover those 8 points. So I will be taking Seattle on this one. Now, granted, I would also say that I would not be surprised if I'm wrong because Seattle – still has the offensive line woes. The offense is playing a little bit better, but the line still stinks. And they were struggling in some instances to keep and to score points on the New Orleans Saints, who we know their defense, their defense has a special name, Swiss cheese, because they got so many holes in it. So for them to be dealing with Swiss cheese and they can't get past that, then I already know that with a defensive-minded guy who knows how to take away your best and only weapon in Jimmy Graham, I think that you're going to have a rough time scoring a lot of points. Now, you know, it's going to make it interesting, but I like Seattle to cover in this game as well.
347-637-3859 is the number to call in. Me and him taking Seattle to cover the 8 points. Now, I'm going to use my last game of the week. The rest of them, like I said, please go to Fox Sports Radio 1340am.com. Go please like my Facebook page, Michael Pearman. That's P-E-A-R-M-A-N, Senior, on the Facebook, or go to our YouTube page as well for the rest of these picks for this week. Pittsburgh at Dallas. Now, by the way, King Vaughn Jr., our social media to the stars, took New England. We know he has Dallas. Do you have Dallas, J. Chris, favored by 3 points at Pittsburgh? We had Mike earlier in the week said he was afraid of this game, and he called himself a Cowboy realist. Where do you stand now?
I think Dallas loses this game, and that's not Dallas hate. I think Pittsburgh needs to come out in this game very strong because they haven't been the team that they're supposed to be this year. And I think that this is a game where they can show and prove. So I'm taking Pittsburgh to win this game at home.
All right. Who you got in this one, Micah?
I'm going to throw up in my mouth a little bit. Without the only thing they didn't have when they played your Eagles was Le'Veon Bell, correct? And we saw what your Eagles was able to do to them. And the Eagles' offensive line is not what Dallas has. Sadly, I have to take the Cowboys in this game. Yes. And I have to take the points with that. I think that the Steelers will actually show up this time, but I don't think it's going to be enough. Because, like, I'm starting to understand what you mean by calling a grown man Dak. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, I think Rain has shown what he can do in a clutch and tight situation when his back is against the wall and he wasn't playing well for a game. So, and we were playing well for the entire game.
Well,
but he played
his
well
back
counted,
against
so.
The wall now with the rumors of Tony Romo at practice wowing and being the and having a stronger arm than Rain. The question is that if Rain loses this game, they can plug in Tony Romo and all us Eagles fans and people who hate the Cowboys would love to see that.
Exactly. And like Jerry Jones will prove that he is a murderer of his own franchise by putting Tony Romo in with all the chemistry and stuff that's going with Ray Prescott right now. It will be ridiculous. It will be dumb. And losses happen. Losses happen under Tony Romo. You really want to put Tony Romo in when December comes around? December's right around the corner. We'll be chomping at the bit to say, yes, lose.
All I can say is this much. If the question has been, can Tony make it through a whole season? And I know what happened last year, not making it through anything of the season, pretty much, right? But if Tony Romo is healthy, and I know that's a huge if, and we talk about that in sports, the if factor, right? I believe Tony Romo healthy for the last 8 games in a playoff push is a step in the right direction over Rain Prescott. I know Cowboy fans who are in the moment, as Jay Chris tells me all the time about when it comes to the Cubs, if you're in the moment of a fan, you may not see this, but he has been a great quarterback. He has had his mistakes and he's had his losses, but I think, and I truly believe saying this, that, and it pains me, that Tony Romo is a great quarterback. And I would rather have an experienced guy who really knows the offense a lot better than Rain at the helm. That's just me. But in this game, I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys. I just can't see Pittsburgh winning this game at any measure. Like you said, they're scrambling all over the place on what to do, offense, defense. Go ahead and jump in there, J. Chris.
I just want to make one quick statement from what Micah said when the Eagles played the Steelers. Offensively, they were missing Le'Veon Bell, huge loss for them, of course. But defensively, they were missing two starting linebackers too. I forgot who they were. It was Timmons. Timmons got hurt in the very beginning of the game, and they were missing one other starting linebacker. I forgot who it was, and I think that really had a big deal to do with, you know, how defensively how they were not able to stop the Eagles. So, you know, if they have all their weapons, I think they're a lot stronger. The Pittsburgh defense is not what it used to be with the Polamalu days, the Joey Porter days. It's not that anymore. It's just not. The Dick LeBeau days, it's not mm-hmm. that anymore. But they still are strong, and that's all I wanted to say.
You know, yesterday I had an opportunity to meet Mr. Charlie Batch during the fight night D.C. Funny story, Jake. Remember talking about how when I first met Eric Snow, how I approached him? And I called him. I said, "Aren't you Eric Effin Snow?" I could not get his name. I said, "Yo, I know you, right?" I said, "Yo, what do I know you from?" And you're like, "I don't know." And I was like, "Yo, so you play baseball?" I said, no. "So you play football, right?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Charlie something, right?" He was like, "Uh-huh." And he, like, wanted me to say his name. He nudged me. I'm like, "I got it. Charlie Ward." He said, "Come on, man. Really? Am I looking at that?" I said to play it off. I said, "You know," they said, "we all look alike. You know what I'm saying, bro?" He said, "No, you don't." I said, "All right, you got me, man." Yeah, he said, "Charlie's back." I said, "Yo." And I'm mad because I didn't have Charlie Ward came in mind, but I was thinking of Hines Ward when I seen him. You know, the light skinned brother name. That's it. I was way off, yo. And he was a great guy. You know, and he gave me some of his opinions about this game that I will keep off air and just for that. But I just thought that was a funny story going into that game. 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. Uncle Jay, college football is back.
Basketball.
Thank you. Sorry, I was reading the text. Yes, college basketball. College basketball is back. It starts tonight. Hey, Chris, it starts tonight. It's back tonight. The basketball, my favorite sport to watch next to baseball, is college basketball. People, there is no other sport, in my opinion, to watch than college basketball. And above both polls this year, J. Chris, is the mighty, mighty Blue Devils. Ranked number one in both the coaches and the Associated Press poll. So we're going to go with the Associated Press because we are the press. Duke number one, Kentucky number two, Kansas number three, Villanova four, the defending champions, Oregon five, Carolina is six in both polls, Oregon is five in both polls. A little change between Kansas. They got Kansas but Villanova and Kentucky a little different in those brackets. But then we have Xavier 7, Virginia 8, Wisconsin 9, and the Arizona Wildcats 10. I'm only going to go to 11 just for the purpose of saying Indiana, J. Chris, for 2 years in a row, for the first time, I believe, got to be since the 01, 03, or 02, 03 season, Indiana's ranked back-to-back years in the top 25. College basketball, as we love it, is back today. And Creighton, yes, people, I said it, Creighton is in the top 25 to start the year, and Rhode Island. Rhode Island has not been a top 25 team since Lamar Odom. Okay, Jay Chris, college basketball is back tonight on the aircraft carrier. North Carolina made that game a couple years back. I hate it. I understand the meaning of it. I get the symbolisms of it, and today is Veterans Day, and I hung out on the anniversary of our Marine Corps and their 241st birthday last night at Fight Night DC. Had a drink called a good God Almighty, what was it? It's tequila with hot sauce. I forgot, but it was some a leatherneck is what they call it. Call it a leatherneck. So there it is. College basketball, Jay Chris. Are you excited tonight? I hate the game on top of the carry. I think the ball's flat. I just don't like it.
Well, on the carrier, the whole thing on the carrier is, you know, they bring the floor in and set it up and all like that. So it has a different – the ball has a slightly different bounce to it because it's not necessarily on, on the surface that we're used to having it on, okay? So that's that. The college basketball in general, yeah, I'm so glad that it's back. I actually, you intrigued me. You told me the Villanova Wildcats are ranked like number four, so I had to look at their roster to see what's coming back. Chris Jenkins, you know, that Chris Jenkins, the one that hit the shot to win the national championship, he's coming back. But there's a lot of guys, there's a lot of new faces on this team. It's going to be interesting. I wonder if part of that is the fact that, you know, they won the national championship last year. I mean, there's no Archie Diacono there. There's a lot of guys that have gone on to professional lives. But I'm very excited. I hate the fact that you mentioned Rhode Island hasn't, you know, that they're in the top since Lamar Odom. And I used to love Rhode Island back in the day when Lamar Odom was on the team. And until they hit that shot against Temple in the A-10 tournament. I you know, ever since then, I've not liked Rhode Island. I just got to be honest with you. But St. Mary's in the top 25, I think that's interesting. That's going to be interesting. I think it's very interesting.
Guess who plays tonight at 9 o'clock? While you sitting at work, and you can watch them. Play Tulane on ESPNU. Your North Carolina Tar Heels, as Isaiah Hicks is the biggest concern this year to be great, and Kennedy Meeks is back again. What the heck?
Yeah, Kennedy Meeks. He wasn't a senior.
Wow. I thought he was gone. Amazed by that. I really, really am. I need college basketball to get back to where it was and let these players stay in school because the turnover is so quick and so
amen.
This is why I hate Duke, I have to give Coach K credit. His players stay around. Maybe not, you know, those great talents that he gets, those one and done guys he has gotten lately, but typically they stay. Grayson Allen's just now a junior. He was a sophomore last year. Okay, so of course he's going to be having nods for player of the year in college basketball. Micah, your take. Are you a fan of aircraft carrier games?
Not really. When I'm looking at it, I'm like, why are they on an aircraft carrier? I understand what they're trying to accomplish, you know, Veterans Day and stuff, America. But, you know, I'm like, it's an aircraft carrier. They could actually have it on the base itself, you know, and maybe they have bases that are big enough to actually have host basketball games. They could have just did that. It'd be on flat land, it's stable, and random things will happen. But, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. But I am with you on your sentiment about one thing about college basketball, and I know we'll have more time to talk about that later on in a different show. I can't wait till they undo the rule in which college basketball players waste a whole semester and waste people's college money and time. Let them go ahead and go to high school. If they want to come out from high school, let them do their thing. If they go to college, mandate that they have to stay there for 2 years, and that way we can go ahead and get our college basketball back. Make college basketball great again.
I knew that was coming, and I agree with you on that one. But I do have this one caveat to add in there, in my opinion, about the one-and-done rule. Well, what you just said as far as making them go to class or them thinking it's a joke to go to class. This is where I think – what do you call it, Jay Chris? A catch-22? Because I agree that they should be – you know, that I want them to stay. However, the humanness, you know, the athlete in me – I don't even know what word you even call it, Jay Chris. Well, I know these universities are taking advantage of these kids, making these millions of dollars. So if these kids got to act like they're going to class, that's not the kid's fault. That's the university's fault. That's the NCAA's fault because they should be made to go to class. Remember, this is why number one pick in the draft, Philadelphia 76ers own Ben Simmons, could not make the tournament. It was because he didn't go to class. So they were banned from the NCAA tournament. So for failing and doing things like that. So, at the same time, I believe these players have I don't know. I can't find the words right now to express that properly. And like you said, we'll revisit that definitely another day. 347-637-3859. UFC, Jay Chris, tomorrow night. Listen.
You better lock it up.
Listen. To buy or not to buy, that is the question. Hey, Chris. UFC 285. You'll be at work, so you'll be able to get to watch it, right? Because you get to watch all that cool stuff at work for free.
Maybe. It depends if someone else in another area, you know, orders it. I'm not doing that.
Okay, never seen your job. Hold on. I couldn't get my voice right, so here.
Tommy, this is the moment UFC fans around the world have been waiting for. It's time!
I cannot wait for this. To buy, 100% is worth buying. Listen, the prelims are amazing. We're in the prelims. I am mad because Sugar Rashad Evans, one of my favorite fighters of all time, he should just retire. He's supposed to be in the co-main event of the prelims. He's not there. So now Michael Johnson takes his place. But the main event is freaking Jeremy Stephens versus Frankie Edgar. OMG. On the card earlier in the day, you got freaking Mike Miller, Jersey's own, taking on Tiago Alvarez. In the main event, you got Misha. Where is he at? He's not here. Cupcake Tate taking on Pennington. You got freaking Romero taking on the former light heavyweight champion of the world, or middleweight champion of the world, light heavyweight champion of the world, I'm sorry, Chris Weidman. And then my girl, I can't pronounce her name yet because you know I can't, fighting on the card. And also friend of program for the title, friend of program, Tyron Woodley, the chosen one, takes on Stephen Thompson. And, of course, in the main event, only one title is on the line, and that's Eddie Alvarez's title. We have Eddie Alvarez for the lightweight title, takes on Conor. Some people say, I don't know why these people would say it. I think they're morons, but hey, everybody's entitled to be, you know, we all have them, right? Opinions, you know what that makes you. Conor McGregor, the greatest fighter since Muhammad Ali. Jay Chris, first of all, how do you feel about when I make that statement that Bleacher Report said that Conor McGregor may be the biggest star since Muhammad Ali?
Please. Please. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's not what I said. What did I say? Come on, man. Conor McGregor, the biggest star since Muhammad Ali. Come on, man.
That's all Please. About trying to get – that's what you call brown nosing up for UFC.
That's what you call trying to get some eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Now he kind of follows the lead of Muhammad Ali, you know, all
Absolutely.
The smack talk and backing it up. Yeah, on that note, that's the only comparison you can really have of him and Muhammad Ali, in my opinion. You know what I mean? You know, not to get into what Muhammad Ali, you can have a whole other show, but I mean, Tom McGregor, he's pretty good. He just lost a couple fights ago, but that happens in the UFC. The UFC fighters tend to not go through their career undefeated because it happens. You know what I mean? It's not like boxing where somebody like Floyd Mayweather, it's rare in boxing too. Okay, Floyd Mayweather undefeated, a pugilist specialist, as Lennox Lewis might say, a defensive mm-hmm. specialist. Okay, did what he had to do to win. But come on, man, you had Mike Tyson, you had Lennox Lewis, who was a great fighter who does not get the credit he deserves, I think. You have Floyd Mayweather, great fighter, okay? I'll even put Manny Pacquiao ahead of Conor McGregor, personally. I will.
There's a number of fighters I put ahead.
As
far as popularity is concerned, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Jones Jr. I put ahead of him.
But
here's the thing. UFC is coming to Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put attention. You got to put focus on it. So you got to say things out of pocket. So I'll let them get away with it today.
Well, since we're talking about New York City and Madison Square Garden, November 11th, 1996, Patrick Ewing becomes the 23rd player in NBA history to reach 20,000 points and scoring 24 points with the Knicks win 92-88 over the Orlando Magic. But that game was not in New York City, but this fight will be. Let's just take it right there. Tyron Woodley from the top taking on Stephen Thompson, the Wonder Boy, 13-1, hell of a fight tour. Tyron, we're friends of his. I love him as a fighter. And but there are certain fights I think make styles. And this fight to me will be a very, very tough fight for Mr. Tyron Woodley, the chosen one. But Tyron's hands have proven everybody wrong in the past. In this fight, of course, I'm taking the guy who's a friend of the program to win the fight, Tyron Woodley. But it will not be easy. He will win this fight by decision. He will be tired when it's all said and done, but he will come out the victorious one. And my name is not even play. Who you got in this fight there, J. Chris? Did we lose J. Chris? Micah, who you got in this fight?
We're going with the friend of the program. I don't think it's going to be by decision. I think he's going to knock the brother out.
You're taking Tyron to knockout. What round?
Let's see. It's going to be – it's not a championship fight, right?
Yes, it is.
It is a championship fight. Round four. Like you said, it's going to be – it ain't going to be easy. But I think brother's going to catch one of those nice little sliding right hook right there to the – to the chop of the chin like that, boom, put him down. I like, see, what I've been liking about UFC and studying the sport itself is I like how the knockouts happen out of nowhere, whereas when I've been watching and studying boxing, the knockouts look like it was timed perfectly a lot of times. Dudes in there setting themselves up, or the guy who's throwing the knockout is just throwing bombs, and the dude just can't stop it. Like, UFC seems like a dude just slides into a punch bomb. It's like, all right, here you go. We'll throw a kick. Pow! What happened? So that's what I like about UFC in comparison to their knockout, in comparison to, Fox's knockout. So, I think Tyron Woodley is going to win by knockout in the fourth round.
Who?
Huh?
What? I'm talking about Tyron Woodley.
There you said, Woodley.
Yes. You said
You said Tyron Woodley.
All right. He threw me off of that. I thought he said that, J. Chris. Who you got in this fight?
No, I said Tyron Woodley.
I'm sorry for earlier. I had myself muted, and I played myself because I was talking about, I was referring to the line of the movie that you were talking about, House Party, and I kind of played myself, so I'm sad now. But to turn it around, I'm going with Tyron Woodley for the win in this one. Tyron Woodley, friend of the program. How am I going to go against it? I'm going with him.
Yeah, that was like a hard one. That's why the best I could say is it'll be a hard fight, because I definitely want to see him winning. And that's just being honest and truthful when I say that. It will be a great fight. I do believe that. Now, that was the co-main event of the evening. So I'm going to go ahead over to the main event, and that is Conor McGregor versus Eddie Alvarez, the flyweight champion taking on the lightweight champion. This is what I don't like. The UFC is, all right, Colin Coward, who of Fox Sports, kiss my ass, because I don't think he heard me. Colin Coward, kiss my ass. Your comments about wrestling fans and wrestling in general and your opinion of wrestling and where it stands and how you globalize Conor McGregor and even says that UFC has destroyed and killed boxing. First of all, Mr. Smart One, who writes books and has this highly popular show and people listen because it's always been on networks. The world, we were on a network, they would listen as well. So take that as it may. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. The UFC has not made money of their biggest fights without someone from wrestling. You know what that guy is? Brock frickin' Lesnar. Why do you think they watch? Because it's wrestling fans tuning in. And that bad son of a B that you say likes to pick, what was the word he used Wednesday? He said, those booger-eating wrestling fans. My wife is pretty damn hot, and almost every man at that event last night wanted my wife. I don't eat no boogers. And I watch professional wrestling. And boxing will never die. And the money he makes and the stuff he makes, he has not put Floyd Mayweather to sleep. He has not put the aforementioned Pacquiao. Pacquiao put himself to sleep. Let's get that straight. I'm not even a Pacquiao fan, okay? And I get no one had his fight. But if this guy didn't come out and bite the ideas of one Muhammad Ali, a boxer, that's a hip-hop word from back in the day, guys. You didn't know. What would they say today? Copy. Money, Floyd Mayweather. He wouldn't be here. And the UFC is so good at this fight is so rigged for Conor McGregor, it's ridiculous. Eddie Alvarez is a beast. I'm not taking nothing from him. But Conor has him in height. He has him in weight, almost. Not weight. He has him in reach, legs, and feet in this fight. Taller than him in this fight. Eddie Alvarez just comes in weighing more pounds. And Conor McGregor has said before, let's be real. how hard is it him to gain 10 pounds and not lose it? It's 10 pounds. This fight is fixed in New York City, and I'm saying it like that. I don't mean fixed in the terms of the winner. It was picked already. It's not predetermined. Okay, that's not what I mean when I say fixed. They gave him a fight that's easy for him to win, Jay Chris, and I don't like that aspect of it. However, I'm still drawn in. I'm still mesmerized by his trash talk. I mean, the guy showed up with a white mink on yesterday, God. How great was that? Conor McGregor is the sport's best guy since John Jones tested positive for sexual enhancement drug. Conor McGregor will win this fight by a second-round knockout. I don't see anything else happening to Eddie Alvarez, but Eddie Alvarez did defeat a champion who I thought would murder, and I mean destroy, decapitate, put out of his misery in one Conor McGregor and Eddie Alvarez when he won the title against God, I cannot pronounce his name. Where is Hugo at when you need him? Rafael Dos Anjos. I that shocked me. He beat him in a first round knockout, and he also lately beat the mess out of Anthony Pettis. So this guy can go. Don't get me wrong. I just think the odds are totally in favor of Conor McGregor winning this fight, Jake. Chris, who you got?
Well, after everything you just said, how can I not go Conor?
I think it would be foolish of me
to go against him. I mean, I just don't like the way it's set up.
And he bleeds easy.
Piggybacking off that, you don't like the way it's set. Everything you just said. Let's think about how you know they're calling him the best fighter since Ali. He's the UFC, you know, he's the UFC
cash cow.
Can't stay off the Viagra. What's my girl's name? How can I forget her name? You know,
Ronda Rousey. She's been
MIA since she got knocked out. Okay, and they say she's coming back, but you know who knows? They have to put their money into something, right? And they can't have him losing again. They can't chance it, right? They got to give him a fight that looks like it could be competitive. But if you're a knowledgeable fan, if you know about weights and styles and things like that, then you know a little better. But at the same time, you have to protect your investment. And they're investing in Conor McGregor. And you know all the things that he does, they love it. They put it out there. They advertise the things that he does, all his answers. He advertises all.
Did you see the crowd? He's going to pick up the chair. Like, come on. There's no way he was going to throw that chair. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's one of them guys who's like, it's like watching reality TV, right? Which sports is reality. It's really ultimate reality TV there is. When they're like, oh, there go the cameras. What you going to do? Because they know security going to step in front of them. That's what I thought. And I get it. It was just the antics and all that. But, no, I mean, at some point, like, if he loses this fight, like, that's what it's all about. You know what I mean? He puts it out there because if he loses, it's over for him. So why not go out in a blaze of glory? God, Lee, I'm having a lot of 80s references. Regulators! How you got this fight going, Micah?
Oh, easy peasy lemon squeezer. I'm going with the mouth that probably should have been from the South, but I guess it's South of Ireland. Conor McGregor, and I have to agree with you that I believe he's going to do a second round knockout. I really like what he brings to the table for UFC. And what's that thing that you told Colin Cowherd? I didn't quite hear it. I had to get some alcohol on the Q-tip to clean out my ears. What did you say Colin Cowherd to me?
Colin Cowherd can kiss my black ass. I added a couple words.
All right. And I hope that's tweeted out because you know what? Because just like Stephen A. Smith's producer, he's scared of getting against you too. Because we already know what's going to happen when you go against him. You're going to chew him up. Spin them out, and you're going to do what Conor McGregor is going to do with Eddie Alvarez all tomorrow night. Yep.
I just think his opinion about people are somewhat too far. And I get he's trying to be famous. Well, he's already famous. I get he's modeled his career after someone who I modeled my career after and won Jim Rome. But to me, there's a difference between being a person who don't like a sport than a person who disrespects the people who watch the sport. You understand what I'm saying? And especially when I won't say every, but I will say this. There's a athlete in every professional sport on every professional team that likes professional wrestling.
Hold on. Who was holding the World Heavyweight Championship belt when your Cubs won?
One Chris Bryant.
Oh, hold on. But he plays baseball. Why would he be a burger-eating wrestling fan?
after winning a World Series, or a quote-unquote real sport? Why would you have a championship belt?
Well, I mean, I was dick bumping on the damn floor of my wife yesterday. She don't have one. But, I mean, so sometimes when in Rome, why not? Right? 347-637-3859. Again, I want to give my thanks to one Keith Gordon. I also want to give my thanks to and please get this out there for us, King Vaughn Jr. That's 720 on the Twitter, guys. A big thanks to Fight Night DC. Again, when you go to an event like this, you only think about the good you wish you could do in this world. And to just be around a group of people like that, and to get to meet people like that. And I've already had people reaching out to me and referencing getting some interviews in this program and doing some business things and business ventures and things along those lines. Because I told my wife, I said, why? I had to tell her. I said, man, I apologize. I didn't give me a chance to even enjoy you in this beautiful dress as much because I was so much work in the room. And big shout out to my wife for letting me do my thing. Whether I was talking to females, cheerleaders, or whatever, let me do my thing. And a lot of relationships can't deal with that. You know what I mean? I'm very flirty. That's just what I am. Especially when I was looking good yesterday too, Jay Chris. I mean, woo! I was smoking. I know you don't care to know that part, but I you know, sometimes you get dressed, brother, and because you remember, men always go like, oh, you feel you look good. You know what I'm saying? It's just not something we do. And I just was like, last night I felt myself a little, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, wow, I'm looking nice up in this zone right here. You know what I mean? And I'm big thanks to that. Big shout out to program director as well, Glenn Thomas, who came to the event as well and got some nice pictures and everything down ringside. I got to meet Larry Holmes. I know he's a big fan of Larry Holmes. Every time I see Larry Holmes, I think about the song that Biggie wrote, All Flabby and Sick. And all that. So that's just me. But again, big thanks out to Fight Night DC for a wonderful one of you. Chris Markey was there. DJ Yoshi was there. The Furious Five was there. It was absolutely incredible. It really, truly, truly was. And what an event. Cannot wait to next year to be back at that event. And again, Fight Night DC, what a great, 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 great time. More stories, more things to come later, trying to figure out how I'm going to put this together. Didn't get the interviews we wanted to get. Kind of got to the red carpet and everything a little late, and then got funneled to where the event and everything is taking place. But I will say this much, J. Chris. I got a bunch of cigars, J. Chris, so please come to Virginia and have one. My wife said she would not, cannot, listen, the smell in that room, every woman smelled like cigar in their hair. It was just thick. It was there. Everybody had one. It was open bar. It was amazing. That's the key right there, Jay Chris. Taking pictures while you're trying to hide your drink.
I've never tried to hide my drink, so I know what you're saying. I've never had to try to hide my drink, so I don't have that experience. One day I probably will struggle with it. I guarantee you.
You have a big day coming. And I guarantee you, Jay Chris, there's going to be some of those pictures you're going to not want the drink in your hand in the picture. They're going to know what you were doing. It's your wedding, you know, whatever it is you got going on. When you get married or I think I just let the couch, they can't hide that one. So when that day happens, you're not going to be able to hide it. But it is what it is. Listen, guys, we're going to get up out of here. I am exhausted, and I have to get up 12 hours from now to be at work. So, with that being said, I am Mike Pierman. That's Michael _Pierman Senior on the Twitter. That is M.E. Richmond on the Twitter. J. Chris, I don't know what yours is this week. I'm sorry, bro.
J. Watson Radio Man.
Jay, is that your final answer?
Final answer.
Final answer. And I'm waiting for you to come back with that Sports Jeopardy. I won the last one, finally beat you. I think we're 1-1. So I'll give you another nudge.
Yeah, I need to talk to you about that. I'm going to talk to you about that, bro. Because
what?
You went from negative to positive, and it's all good.
Well, hey, no, you can't listen.
That's final answer. I didn't know how much to wager, so I.
Oh, you know what? I went all in because I was losing. I knew the category. On that second one, when I went for the nudge, I picked. I was like, I'm not. You got the coins. I picked my categories, and I ran.
Oh, I know.
Those goals was easy. Those goals was easy. But listen. Do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some meat.
and don't love God. People, that is crazy. We are now, hence, and forever will be the fastest rising, most successful network in the world. BDSR Network, the new Twin Show Network, Fox Sports 1340 WHAP. And people, we out of here. See y'all next week, y'all. Peace. No outro. Not needed, baby. Why you doing me that? We good. We good in the hood. All right, we out of here. Y'all say we out of here? All right, we out of here. Peace.
Okay, class, let's go.
Whoa, we're starting already? Step to the left. No to the right. Oh, now back. How are they lunging like that? Turn around? How did Jen convince me to come here? Wait, now do what? How are they doing that? You know what? I'm just going to pretend I know what I'm doing in this class and have fun.
Fearless is being the only newbie in class. That's the power of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Learn more about our healthy benefits, tools, and wellness programs at fepblue.org/getactive.
When you don't go to geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your move.